Well, good morning again. Our opening scripture this morning was Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. That's not really what I'm going to be preaching out of it. It's going to be included in my sermon, but actually we're going to be in Luke 14, 15 through 24. I remember years ago reading about this bar that had a great big sign out front that said free beer. That place was packed all the time. What they failed to mention on that sign, though, was that was the name of the house band. But people always want something for free, don't they? In Luke chapter 14, I'm going to read it. Luke 14, 15 through 24. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come. For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house became angry. Being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Jesus had been talking about true hospitality before this, about inviting the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Basically, societal rejects. Equipment change. Basically, societal rejects. And, you know, you think about it, that's most of us, isn't it? Verse 15, the statement was made, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. This is one of the Pharisees. This was a dinner at a Pharisee's house. And what he was probably thinking or believing was that it was going to be Pharisees that's going to be there. So Jesus told this parable to say that it's not necessarily going to be Pharisees. It's going to be those, the outcasts of society maybe. Those that know their weaknesses and know what's going on in their lives. Verses 16 through 24. This is really an unbelievable parable. It's not realistic at all. It's not true to life. If a man is giving a banquet, inviting people are going to show up for it. Because people do want a free meal. They do want a free celebration. They do want. So it's not realistic to think that nobody would come. So what's Jesus talking about? Everybody that was asked, all that were invited, made excuses. On what planet does that happen? It doesn't happen on ours, does it? As I said, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable until you dig beneath the surface. What is being talked about here? What is this an invitation to? I'm going to read Luke 14:15 again. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Revelation 19:9 says, And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is what is being talked about here. A great feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Not everybody's going to be there. People are rejecting it even now, aren't they? Most are. In Revelation 22:14-15, it says, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, that means outside, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. In Ephesians it says, and so were some of you. So were some of us. But yet there's a difference, isn't there? We sought forgiveness from Jesus Christ. We repented of our sins. So we get to be there. This is an invitation. God is a God of invitations. In our opening scripture, Isaiah 55:1-3, I saw the word come in there four times. Over and over again, that word just leaps out. Four times, four is the number of the world, so that tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Four is the number of the world because the north, south, east, and west. All of creation, the four corners of the earth. Anybody that receives what he has will be saved. Word come. First time we see that word in the Bible is in Genesis 7:1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. God didn't say, Go into the ark. He said, Come into the ark. Come to where I am. Come to where there's safety and security. Come to where you'll be blessed. God is a God of invitation. Jesus in John 7:37 said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, Come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden. John 1:38-39, His disciples, when they first met Jesus, two of his disciples said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. Luke 18:22, to the rich young ruler, he said, Come, follow me. We here at Isaiah 58 invite people to come and eat. And they come. Hopefully they'll see something here that will convince them to receive Jesus Christ, their Savior, to want him. We don't really preach at them. We just try to show it in our actions. Isaiah 55:1-3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I I've got the wrong. I put down too many verses in my notes. I'm not going to read all that. Luke 14, I put down 15 through 24, but actually I'm just going to read 18 through 20. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoken of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Excuses. Like they say, excuses are like noses. They all smell. I bet you thought I was going to say something else. I could have, but this is church. But they do. Everybody has an excuse. Are these valid reasons? Not for what they're being invited for. If you go back to Deuteronomy, they are valid reasons. But there are valid reasons for avoiding war. Deuteronomy 25 through 7, and the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. Valid excuses for that, but not for the rejecting the kingdom of heaven. There is no excuse for that. Because, you know, it's equally unbelievable that anybody would not want what the Lord has to offer. After Paul was arrested and he was on his way to Rome, there were three people he talked to. One was Felix, one was Festus, and then he spoke to the king, Agrippa. And he's preaching the gospel to them. He's sharing Jesus Christ with them. Felix said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. In other words, I don't want to talk to you about this now. Come back and we'll talk about this later. Do you ever hear anything like that when you're sharing Jesus Christ? People don't want to hear about it just now. Just wait a while. Acts 26:24, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You're crazy. People think we're crazy, aren't they? Don't they? Well, we are a peculiar people. Then in Acts 26:28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. The saddest words in the Bible, so close yet so far. How many on that day are going to stand before Jesus Christ? And he sends them down below because they were almost saved. Almost saved is forever lost. So close, but so far away. What did it cost Jesus Christ to prepare the feast? Everything he had, everything he was. He gave up heaven to come to earth for us. He lived a sinful life for us. He went to the cross and died the most painful death imaginable for us. Of course, we know the rest of the story, don't we? On the third day, he rose from the grave and he ascended to heaven, where he's forever sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. You know, Romans, it talks about not only him making intercession for us, but the Holy Spirit's making intercession for us. Why would anyone not want to go to his feast? You know, the real reason is I don't want to. I don't want it now. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. I'll talk to you about this later. But what it comes down to is they don't want to because they don't really know what it is they're rejecting. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed or perish for a lack of knowledge." So we have a job to do, don't we? We have a job to share Jesus Christ. So that gospel will spread throughout the world. And when the gospel spreads throughout the world, then the end will come. We want to reach as many people as possible. The marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know what's going to be served. But I know it's going to be good. This morning is Communion Sunday. We do it the first Sunday of the month. We do it once a month. We don't do it every day or every week because we don't want it to be commonplace. We don't do it every 6 months because we still want it to be. We don't want to forget what it's all about. I'm going to ask Ivan and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements. First Corinthians 11:23-32. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." As these are being passed out, I'm going to ask you to, as it says in verse 28, to examine your heart. And if there's anything in there that isn't quite right, talk to God about it and try to make it right.